And now over to a district here in Michigan that would be impacted if H.R. 5003 passes. Mary Kurkowski is the Food and Nutrition Services Director at Port Huron Schools in its fifth year now of using the community eligibility provision. Mary, how many of your schools would be affected if this bill passes?
We are district-wide CEP, so that would be 17 schools.
You're one of the first districts in the country to implement the CEP. What was the appeal of the program for your district?
Well, the appeal was it cut down on paperwork for the district and for families. It made sense that if they qualified for FIA, that they automatically qualified for free and reduced meals. So why go through two application processes for the families? And it also cut down on the stigma. That was huge for us. So with CEP, everyone gets a free meal if they qualify on those percentages. And, you know, it's not like, oh, these kids are free, these kids are not free.
Let's talk more about that stigma. What would it be like in the school cafeteria before CEP?
Well, we couldn't identify them, but students still knew. I mean, if you weren't handing money over, they knew they must be free. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And it mostly affected middle and high school kids. Not so much the elementary students because they're not in tune to that. But at the high school level, we had students that qualified that would not take a meal because they didn't want other students to know that they were free.
What is the demographic makeup at your schools? How many kids are low income?
Right now, since we're district-wide, we have 77% free and reduced district-wide.
Mary, have you been able to connect your district's participation in CEP and having everybody getting these lunches? Have you been able to tie that with any change in academic performance in the district?
Yes, we have. We have several schools that were on the priority school list, and when we started CEP and everyone received a free breakfast and lunch, we increased our breakfast participation from 1,000 breakfasts a day to 4,400 breakfasts a day. So that's huge, and we know that part of this increase has made a difference on behavior in the classroom by talking to the teachers, and it's definitely made an academic difference because we have two schools that are no longer in priority status.
What kind of feedback have you gotten over these years that you've been part of CEP in these 5 years from teachers, from students, and from parents?
It's actually been very positive. We started out as a pilot, so we did it slowly. We did our most needy schools initially and seen huge success, and then every year we've added additional schools. And then with that, by adding the feedback from the teachers for the breakfast program is obviously the behavior, their attention span, they're ready to learn. What we hear from the parents is they're able to better budget their evening meals and their weekend meals because they know that they don't have to include that in their expenses during the day. So it's helped out our community greatly. So it's been really positive feedback. Some students that have never eaten before are eating now because it's not the stigma isn't attached to it being free and reduced. So that's been positive at the high school level. You know, I can't think of really any negative.
So what would it mean for you as the Food and Nutrition Services Director for Port Huron Schools if you had to go back to the application-based system?
Oh, my gosh. We would have to increase labor for processing the free and reduced applications. Customer service to the parents and the families, just it takes, with a district our size, you know, you're processing 4,000 to 5,000 applications, and it's a huge, huge task to get that information back out to the families, to approve them, to send it out, get it in the books. And sometimes the applications don't get approved. They don't get the application in, and then there's a lapse between when they're approved and when they're not that they have to pay. You know, you hear about all these schools that have unpaid meal charges because even if they don't qualify for free or reduced but they don't have the money and we're feeding them anyways, then you have all these unpaid meal charges that aren't being taken care of. So we would go back to that. Right now we have no negative meal paid charges since we don't charge.
And if this bill were to pass, what do you believe it would mean to the students and to these families that you serve?
Well, for us it would be devastating, I think, for our families because, like I said, we increased by four times increase in breakfast. So I'm sure our breakfast counts would go back down. So the kids would not be getting the breakfast they need first thing in the morning. That would probably be – the breakfast drop would be the biggest impact that we would see for our district because the increase in breakfast was, I think, what's really made a difference academically for these students and health-wise. And on top of the CEP allowing for the free meals, we also have higher standards So we're having the fresh fruits and vegetables. And if students aren't getting the free meals that we allow them, they have to bring a bag meal from home. They wouldn't be getting the same quality meal that they're getting from school food services across the nation.
Mary Kurkowski is the Food and Nutrition Services Director at Port Huron Schools. Mary, thank you so much for giving us that view from the ground where in the classrooms where you are able to feed these kids. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Mary.
Thank you.
Our thanks to State of Opportunity, which also contributed to this story.